Hi, it's Dustin Lanier. Thanks for listening. Please find me on LinkedIn for original public sector operations content every week. And please reach out to me if I and my team of procurement professionals at Civic Initiatives can help you be a public procurement change agent.
Good afternoon. Today we are going to talk about flipping the financial year in style. This is related to public procurement and what's involved with the responsibilities of public procurement professionals when they're helping deal with the flow that comes in at the end of the year and then the new money that's ready to go at the start of the next year. It was described by one of my staff as the Super Bowl for procurement. So why is that and what is that? We have a set of people up here that all run public procurement programs in state or local or higher education to talk about some of their experiences. Again, like I said, the flip of the fiscal year is one where a lot of the business units realize, oh, we need to get this money through the door. Otherwise, X is going to happen. So it's usually a time of a lot of pressure for procurement shops, both in terms of dealing with that flow with grace, and then making sure that stuff gets done well and according to the rules and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm actually going to start with our newcomer, Stephanie Brown. She's with Chesterfield County. And I noticed her post on LinkedIn the other day where she made She made an adorable care package for both, I guess, for her staff and for her team. So Stephanie, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about why you put that together and flip in the financial year.
Thank you, Dustin. I'm excited to be here. I'm happy to be part of this conversation. And yes, I posted a post on LinkedIn to show how we kind of celebrated the end of the fiscal year. It was more of a care package directly for our staff, but it really had a two-pronged agenda behind it. And I'll start by describing for those of you all that haven't seen it. It was just a cute little bag of candy that had a play on words on some of the candy. For a survival kit for our fiscal year end, Tootsie Roll to help, you know, staff roll with the punches, a peppermint patty to help keep their cool, gum to help them through the sticky situations they would encounter, Snickers to help them keep a sense of humor, Starburst for a burst of energy when they needed it, and a lifesaver to remind them of the many times that they've been one. It was more of an encouragement, a way to let our staff know that during this time of year, we recognize how trying it can be, that they're putting in some extra hours to get everything done. We also gave that care package to our collaborative partners in the organization, our accounting department, our budget department, as a way of saying, hey, we're in this together. We're feeling the same pain and pressures that you all are feeling, and acknowledging that, as well as county leadership. You know, those that are not directly involved in the process tend to forget sometimes how trying it can be for the departments that are directly impacted. So I received a lot of feedback from our leadership saying, hey, we recognize now that this is a trying time of year and all of the work that your staff are putting in. So I think it was something that just not only encouraged staff, but shed light on the time of year and role that we all play in this process.
Great. Kristen, you told me that you have a stop in a bit, so why don't we come to you next?
Yeah, sure thing. So first, hello to everyone. I'm Kristen Webb with Shelby County Government. You can also consider us to be in Memphis, Tennessee, home of the Blues. And Stephanie, I am taking note on your care package. I think it is the neatest and most mindful display of helping everyone be able to take on the fiscal year. So I can appreciate that note. For us, I think what's been really big this year in closing out fiscal year is the increased funding sources that have come about because of the pandemic and just really trying to meet the needs of the users and getting them their goods and services according to policy. So just trying to get those things in. One thing that's been really important and has been prudent and helpful for us is to make sure that we start our deadlines of communication earlier on. So we start about March, actually giving what the deadlines will be beginning in May. So they have plenty of time to kind of really consider what they have remaining in their budget, what needs to come to us so that we can try to get it done in time, considering lead times, complexities, determining if they're even going to be able to maybe carry budget forward. So maybe it's something that doesn't have as critical of a timeline in closing out. But I like to look at our fiscal year as kind of moving out of the house. We move out of the house so that we can move into a new space. And so we are actually, our last deadline was June the 17th. And it has proven, our earlier deadlines has proven that people are able to be a bit more proactive. I know that we're going to have some lingering things here and there, but we're going to work with them to make sure that we are providing the service. Another important piece that we are revving up at the end of our fiscal year is actually our educational component. So we do training throughout the entire year. But definitely as we end the fiscal year, we like to kind of reset, level set, and say, hey, here are best practices as you get ready to start to spend your new money, because they are, you know, ready and waiting come July 1 to start submitting new requests for the fiscal year. So those have been some things that have proven to be helpful for us, and that we kind of continue to keep our eye on to see if we can make any modifications where necessary and accommodate. But the biggest thing for us this year has just been the influx of funding so that people don't lose grant funding and things of that nature. So that would be my tip for today, or my topic comment.
Well, great. So Justin, she talked about that they pushed back their deadline of when people could bring in new requests. I'll have to listen back, but it sounded like several weeks ago. So in other places, I know they're trying to process things until the absolute last second. How do you create some of these structures so that it's being properly spent and done, and that we can still have controls, and then take wherever you want on some of your observations on flipping the fiscal year?
Yeah, so I think Kristen highlighted what's probably a best practice for a lot of organizations, which is to have clear and transparent, well-communicated schedules for how the fiscal year end is going to take place in your agency, your institution, you know, what have you, recognizing that process, you're trying to catch as many of the transactions as possible in that process, while still recognizing that you are going to have some exceptional activities, some things that go right up to the last minute in your agency, in our organization. I know in our organization, for example, we found ourselves with some extra funding, and we had to think about how we wanted to use that within our own department. And it allowed us to kind of step back and kind of decide we're going to invest some of that money in staff and in our staff, own staff and training offerings. So, you know, I think in any organization, it's just kind of being aware of how your procurement process, how your finance team works to close the books, and then trying to be a good partner to them.
Absolutely. Now I'll just hop in from here, if that's all right, Dustin. I am James Crenshaw, contract specialist with D.C. government. And we're definitely hearing some similar themes here. With us, that's our goal as well. So we try to meet with our program offices as early as possible. The latest deadline is basically dependent upon what we're trying to procure. So if it's a goods, things like computers, laptops, backpacks, things of that nature, they have a little bit longer leash because it's easier to procure those things. But services, especially services with indefinite deliveries or indefinite quantities, we need to get those. We're normally looking at about a 5-month window before we cut off our deadline for those things. And one unique thing about our office is, because our fiscal year is so busy, we have dedicated people, two specific people for fiscal year cleanup for procurements under $250,000, and then one person who's dedicated for procurements or contracts under $1 million. And that's all they do throughout this season, is go through and make sure that we're cleaning up all of the areas needed for those particular contracts. And then they get back with us, and we meet with those departments and go through those closeouts.
Jenny, what consideration should there be on IT purchases at the end of the year? And do we need to pay attention to those in any different way than we otherwise do?
Sure, Justin. Jenny Henderman. I'm in the Office of the Comptroller in Massachusetts. And actually, I'm in RIF. So we do the accounting and payroll for the state. So part of what our guidance is, and that includes IT and all expenditures, is we've really ramped up our education. Just as Kristen had said, we have a whole open closed calendar, which is online. We give folks weekly updates as far as what's coming up so that they get constant reminders of what's in the queue and what deadlines they have to meet. And some of our deadlines are earlier for final encumbrances. We also switch the type of closed open training that we have. We usually have an all-day training. And what we've done is
chop those up into modules that are very specific. So specific for payroll, specific for vendors, contracts, cyber, things like that, so that the people who really needed to get that information were only watching a half hour video or webcast as opposed to going in for an all day training. So really, really upped our game as far as education, and that's really improved it. I think not just for the people who've been around for a while, but also for the new people who may be coming into this as their first open close, and it can be somewhat overwhelming with all the deadlines that are there. And for IT, I think it's like any other purchase. It's really thinking ahead of what you're going to need to close up the fiscal year and then if you're going to continue that service. The one thing Massachusetts does, which I would also recommend, is we have a 30-day extension. So if folks are getting down to the end of the fiscal year and they know they're going to do an amendment to extend, but they haven't gotten the paperwork in by June 30th, they have the ability to do a virtual 30-day extension that will do a stopgap, continue the contract terms until they get a chance to sign the contracts or the amendments with what they're doing. And we found that's really helped from an audit perspective. And also from a legal protection perspective. So those are just some of the tips that we're doing at the state, sending out.
So I'm interested in the combination of the question of both, can we process everything? And then should we, is there any need to express some controls at the end of the year just because we have the money? Do we spend it? Does procurement have any say in whether these expenditures are good, or is our job to move the requisition down the line? So I don't have a specific opinion about that. I'm curious if any of you guys have an opinion.
Just real quick for me, I think we should always be in the business of just making sure we're giving guidance, not necessarily policing. And for us, I'll say here at the county, we're not necessarily telling them what they can and can't buy. You know, the budget's been approved by commission, you know, the previous year. And so they are, you know, in their right to be able to spend as long as they're getting it in according to our policy. But I do think it's important for us to always be prudent and offer solutions. So if we see opportunities or avenues that are probably more applicable to what they're trying to get done, I think we should always offer that and maybe persuade where they need to be persuaded.
I would just add that I think the time for some of that discussion is really throughout the year, right? So if in your agency or your organization, everyone should sort of know where people sit in terms of budget heading into that fourth quarter of the year and understand if there are adjustments to be made based on sort of financial condition or anything. I think end of year is also a great opportunity to kind of stress test some of your core processes that you have, right? So if you have an extensive e-procurement program and you have a good set of contracts, to be able to see how your organization handles that surge of contracts and make sure that your process and your technology and everything is supporting it and really freeing up your people and your human resources to support some of the more challenging transactions and things that people try to do at the end of the year.
Absolutely. And I agree. We try to offer guidance and give pushback where necessary. One of the things that we find, particularly working in the IT space, is often retailers will often offer bulk discounts for several pieces, and our IT departments like to jump at that in Q4. And there may not necessarily be an immediate need for 100 laptops or a certain amount of licenses, but they know that they want to get those sales as well. That Q4 now offers discounts, and then they'll come to us and say, we will have this need. And so what we do is we just try to talk through that, because we don't want to spend the money just to say we spent it and got a discount if we're not going to actually be utilizing the product, that the good that we're purchasing. So that's where we try to give our pushback. And that's why we meet well in advance to really try to understand the need of our program officers.
So, Jenny, I can't agree more with what everybody's been saying as far as looking at these spending patterns. I think one of the things to also consider is collaboration really is the biggest thing that needs to happen across all of the units in an organization. And the reason why I'm saying this is because there are a lot of compliance requirements that are increasing. For example, you know, new federal rules, leasing issues, pandemic requirements, and also cybersecurity requirements as far as maintaining the privacy of the data that you have and protecting your systems, which is an increasing risk. So I think some of the things to consider are really looking at what your major goals are and then looking at what your risk environment is, and do you have to start devoting or investing in mitigating those risks? And a lot of people, because of the pandemic, were not able to focus on it, but now is a really good time as you're going into the next fiscal year to start having those conversations, so that if you find small pockets of money that could be used to mitigate your risk or protect your organization, you have the opportunity to be able to do that. So I think collaborating across all of your units and having these discussions at your senior level are really, really helpful to identify these holes that need to be filled in.
I mean, Jenny and James, when you were talking there, I was suddenly reminded that, and I don't remember exactly the state, but I probably wouldn't say it if I did, but I remember there was an instance where there was a purchase of a lot of seat licenses for a particular piece of software from a major software provider that then later weren't used. And that became the basis of an audit finding that had a lot of rippling impacts. So if we buy stuff, there should be some question, I guess, about when and how are we going to use it, so it doesn't look like we bought something or just stick it on a shelf. So I just was reminded of that story when you guys were talking about that. Stephanie, why don't you go?
Yeah, you brought up a good point. I think Jenny hit it, the nail on the head there, with the collaboration with the strategic partners and the organization, making sure you're having those important conversations and engaging them. You don't want any question as to these last minute purchases squeezing their way through and not being vetted as you normally would, just because we feel the pressure to get it processed before the fiscal year ends. For us, you know, there's conversations with budget along the way on, you know, what is allocated for departments, what we may see coming through towards the end of the fiscal year. You know, we utilize deadlines as well, as we've talked about, but I think it's having that open dialogue, understanding what the business needs are from our end-using department perspective, as well as budget, accounting, and making sure that we're all communicating and collaborating on this process.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that the contract specialists and the two individuals that I mentioned earlier are tasked with doing is with our requisitions, the requisitions have to be fully complete. The service has to be complete, or the good has to be utilized for the close of the fiscal year. So if there's a requisition for $1,000, and we see only $600 have been used, and we go to the program office and say, hey, fiscal year is coming to an end. We need to adjust this requisition down. That money needs to go back and go from there to make sure it is used.
Christina, so you had a lot of local procurement experience down in the Miami area. And so any observations that you have on flipping fiscal years and some of your experience?
Hey, yeah. Thanks again, Stephanie, for sharing your great package idea, which I think is going to kick off a new trend. I would emphasize planning and communication in that collaboration, just like other people have talked about, talking with your department. Make sure you're speaking with leadership at varying levels to make sure that everyone's committed to whatever the time constraint is, the deadlines, and the procedural expectations. And I know that entities are, you know, on varying levels on the digital spectrum, but being able to automate parts of this process is also very helpful. We would also use a lot of checklists, you know, for common items across all departments, like things that we know are going to be recurring every single year, like those POs for the master leases, et cetera. So we don't necessarily need to constantly reinvent the wheel on those. And there should be processes in place to make sure that those pieces get closed and opened accordingly, you know, without it being a headache every single year. So just the easy stuff, make it easier. And then lastly, based on what James said, like centralizing functions as possible, having one specific person centrally being able to handle the master items is really helpful. So you don't have like one point person in every department when you could just really have it be one. So I don't know if any of you have experience with that, but I feel like kind of knowing, you know, that this one person is going to handle it and maybe one backup person, that also really helps a lot depending on what it is.
So how about starting the new fiscal year? So we've spent a lot of time talking about the crush at the end and people trying to come across, but then people have new money and so they want to get on with it. I've seen in a couple of the places that we're at, they literally shut down the ability to interact with the system for like 2 weeks before and a week after. And one state I saw, it's like 2 weeks after. So how do you deal with the new fiscal year when you have people who say, well, now we flipped and I've got to get going?
So that's one thing we actually do. We are we shut down the system for about a week or so, just so that we can, once the fiscal year closes out, it's closed, but we're still, in essence, cleaning up some things from that year before we're ready to roll into the new year fast. So we shut it down, allows us to clean up some old things and catch our breath and move forward. And we slowly start receiving procurement requests and going along with our meetings. And what we do is we just give realistic timelines. They understand that the ramp up is a little slower starting into the new year. We give, we set expectations and we move forward from there. And it's been a smooth process for us over the past 3 years.
We're probably a little unique. We don't do a system shutdown at the end of the fiscal year. So we roll right into the new fiscal year. It allows departments to enter their requisitions for the new year funding immediately and gives them access if they want to set up blanket orders. We actually close out the fiscal year about 45 days after it ends. So we shut down the system after we've given the departments an opportunity to enter their new requisitions and make those beginning of fiscal year purchases.
Yeah, this is Jenny. We do the same thing in Massachusetts. We have two fiscal years running simultaneously. Some departments, they mess up on the coding, the correct fiscal year, so we have to help them correct that. But we run them simultaneously, and then our fiscal year also closes out at the end of August, and then we have cleanup after that for the financial reports. But we work a little bit differently than I think some of the local governments. Jenny out.
So we had Allie McNally join us. She's in Albemarle Counties. You don't have to feel constrained by what we may have talked about already. You had told me that you had some observations coming out of the GFOA conference and some others. So
thanks, Dustin, for the welcome. What I was mentioning and wanted to offer to this caller bring up is related to the updated GASB requirements. Many know that the GASB 87 went out against this past fiscal year 22 related to how leases are handled and managed. And it was new information and interesting in this last month for me to learn that there's an additional accounting requirement, the GASB 96, that's subscription-based IT services or software as a subscription. And the point of me bringing that up on the procurement discussion forum is the effort that we're making at Albemarle to really think end-to-end as a finance department. By ensuring that we're capturing the data that they need to do their jobs effectively, particularly on the front end when a department's setting up a requisition who is intimately familiar with the dynamic of the contract and agreement and line items. In this instance, in preparation for the GASB 96, it's related to ensuring that the items that are cash outlays, like the licensing expenses, would be separate from the subscription-based costs, which are to be amortized. So I just wanted to offer that here. I'm not sure, you know, to what degree others are connected in with the accountants in their organizations and kind of maybe chat about that. Anyone else who's had success or suggestion on, you know, how to best capture that in the system, but ensuring that we're really also serving our internal partners.
This is Jenny. I know that we've been dealing with the leasing issue for a while. There's been a lot of meetings. And I know that NASAC, the National Association of State Comptrollers, Treasurers, and Auditors have been meeting on that issue. I hadn't heard of the GASB 95, so I'll have to take a look at that one.
Excellent, Jenny. Yeah, it's the GASB 96. And if Dustin posts the recording of this, I'd be happy to add a link into it. But for our organization, it looks on the surface to be even more impactful than all the spaghetti untangling that we've done for leases. It looks to be even more complicated based on that part of a contract would need to be amortized versus another part, depending on the structure of it. For those of you who are talking about running two fiscal years simultaneously in the procurement system, we do the same here and have had some challenges with educating folks on the appropriate fiscal year to apply a requisition or transaction. Does anyone have recommendation or suggestion on where you've seen success in helping with that education?
We've been making a mandatory class for our end users that are responsible for entering requisition that they do about 30 days out before the fiscal year ends to, you know, do all the reminders about how to determine what fiscal year this should go in and how to appropriately enter those requisitions.
Right. And similar in Massachusetts, although our procurement system and our accounting system are separate, so I could only talk about the accounting system. But normally the way it's recorded is if you have services across fiscal year, you have to split it across the two fiscal years and have one line for one fiscal year of the services you expect to have completed by June 30th, and then the services that are going to start in July 1st. And you may have to adjust it in the accounts payable period in August, but normally you have to be able to make the decision of what services are actually going to be delivered as of the fiscal year.
Well, great. Well, it's a busy time for everybody. You guys are all very kind to take some of your time and jump on and share some thoughts. So I will pluck some of the items out of this and put it into a little article at the start of next week, and then I'll publish this on demand sometime in the midweek once I have 3 seconds to actually process this. So thank you all for coming on. Stephanie, thank you for joining. If you like doing this kind of stuff, looking ahead, I had anticipated doing something on procurement as a service type thing, which we're doing some work on, and or the procurement and ARPA, depending on kind of where we are and what people are still interested in talking about. So Stephanie, if you like doing this kind of stuff, then we're happy to include you in this in the future. And anybody who's listening, if you enjoy this kind of discussion and banter and you want to chime in, it's very easy. It's no fuss, no muss on people to be able to participate. So please drop me a note if you'd like to in the future.